everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show. Well, Tom, when we have our, let's see, about 88 to 90% eclipse tomorrow at about 9:30, it'll be interesting. The light will change and it will cool off a couple of degrees. Be nice if it stayed that way, but it's not going to happen.
Well, we are enjoying rather cooler temperatures here recently, and it's kind of nice.
This morning was absolutely beautiful.
And how about the evenings? It just hit me last evening that after the sun goes down, the temperature really drops quite a bit and is very comfortable in the evening.
Yeah. A hint of fall in the air. Hello, everybody. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. They sponsor the naming rights during the noon hour for the Buckmaster Show, and we're glad they do. It is Friday, October the 13th, 2023. Our radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We'll begin our 14th year on the radio and our 36th year on TV and radio in Tucson in January. We have our worldwide live listening podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Our live line when we do our telephone interviews or take telephone calls with your questions at 790-2040 is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Friday, we like to do our shout-out to our media friends, including TucsonSentinel.com, and Dylan Smith is here, editor, co-publisher, founder of that fine online news service. Dylan, thank you for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
The Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, thank you very much to Dan Scheer and his team, Tucson Local Media Group, their portfolio of publications, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. For her quarterly interview, we're trying to stay on that schedule and been pretty good over the last year or so. Pima County Attorney Laura Conover is our Friday Focus interview. Laura, a Democrat, elected to the county's top legal office for a four-year term in November of 2019. Laura, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill and Dylan, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. And I kind of asked you this a couple of times about are you officially seeking another four-year term next November, or are you kind of still thinking about it?
You caught me live on air, and Dylan was right here.
I think it was about 6 months ago.
Yeah, and Dylan had something written, I think, even before he somehow returned back to the office. I remember this vividly. So here's what I can say.
Okay,
we're taking it very seriously, and we're getting close to a final decision. I probably didn't have my mind fully wrapped around it last time we spoke about it, but we're taking it very seriously. I had the good fortune of being a full-time candidate the first time, and now I think, as everyone knows, I am very sincerely the full-time plus well beyond full-time Pima County attorney. But I also have the blessing of having an incredible team around me on the political side, on the community side, my original team from 4 years ago, plus a whole lot more, and a decision is forthcoming very soon.
But do you like what you do? Or is that an assumption on my part?
I have been experiencing moments of joy in the last 6 to 9 months. And I will be brutally honest that the first 2 years was nothing but focused on service. It was the height of COVID. It was a homicide spike. It was a domestic violence spike. It was fighting for the first salary increase in the office since 1997. It was a recruiting battle. It was a culture change. And it was a constant onslaught that COVID and the community was handing to us in the public safety realm. And it was one foot in front of the other for a solid 2 years. And in the last 6 to 9 months, we're now a lot more proactive. We have a lot more oxygen. We've had a lot of incredible progress and relief on the public safety front. And so it's giving us a chance to get to the things we thought we needed to do for the health of the community remembering that public safety is public health and public health is public safety. And that's starting to really come through. We are really rolling. And that has put a smile on my face on occasion, which is really, that's pleasant.
So you're trying to find a bit of joy every day.
Absolutely.
Sounds like me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I got plenty of gratitude. That, don't get me wrong, listeners and folks. I got plenty of gratitude.
But trying
to find a kernel of joy in my day has been a real challenge. So
I know.
Sounds like you might be there too.
I was. And there's also not a day that goes by that I don't look out the window of that funky blue brick building and where I can kind of see the whole county. And I'm incredibly blessed to be here. It's that old proverb, you know, may we live in interesting times. And we do. You know, I find myself here in this place in such a dynamic time. I will fully confess, I did not know that at the forefront in my civil law firm that top line priorities would be reproductive health and safe and fair elections, like the absolute fundamentals of our democracy. But that's where we are. We're literally fighting for democracy, and what a blessing to be in the middle of it and to play a tiny role in public safety and prevention and in the most dynamic times.
All right, here's a guy that I know finds joy every day, Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com.
Well, I strive to. I don't know if I can claim daily success in that. But Laura Conover, you are in a business, a line of work where you are daily dealing with just about the most negative things that can happen in people's lives. And right before we got on air, we were talking, chatting a little bit about the violent crime trend. And what can you tell folks about that?
I think that's absolutely right. I think you have nailed it. It is quite a demanding job, and part of that is, as I'll explain, is that there's a homicide call out phone that my violent crime veteran prosecutors trade off every few nights, and where they go out once the scene has been secured to every single homicide in the county, and then I get briefed in real time. And so you can imagine, we walked in to a homicide backlog of 144 cases dating back to 2017 when I arrived. We picked up another 116 more in my first year of office. What we did to answer that is we started running what's called the homicide panel every single Monday. And that revelation came quickly that we couldn't do it once a month, that we had to run it every single Monday. That was a huge ask. Picture, if you will, a conference table with like the top 20 veteran prosecutor bureau chiefs in the office, my senior leadership team, and then a wall along the wall of the homicide detectives assigned to the cases. We spend all morning reviewing paperwork from maybe four of them. We spend the afternoon on formal presentations to work to resolve them with input, of course, from defense and victims. And by running that every Monday, we've completely unburied from the backlog. But not only that, as of Monday, we're 23% down on homicide countywide from last year, 38% down from the year before. And that is a real world relief for, of course, everyone in the community. It means we can get to victims much more quickly. We can reach resolution more quickly. And it means we take a Monday off pretty regularly now, which is like 25 people with 6 hours to work on other stuff. And Dylan, to your point, there's plenty more to do beyond homicide. We are continuing to struggle with, we had 980, I think it was 980 non-fatal shootings in the city of Tucson last year. So there's plenty more work to do, but the time and resources to do it.
And how are other violent crimes trending in addition to homicides, domestic violence, armed robbery, et cetera?
Everything's trending in a better direction, but not nearly as high as we would like to see it, not nearly as high as the homicide rates I just quoted for you. And so we're digging in. And again, when we can take those breaks on those Monday afternoons, that's exactly where we go, right? Violent crime, firearms is just a huge issue for us and for all of law enforcement. Domestic violence, right into the heart of those victim crimes.
That sets the tone, doesn't it? I start the week off on a Monday going and looking at those very gruesome murders.
It does. Trials start on Tuesday, so the only way we can get the veterans in the room and the detectives in the room is to do it on a Monday afternoon, and that's hard. But right away, I realized that myself included and others were digging into their Sundays to start preparing, and we made a shift there as for their well-being and their health, right? We got to be healthy inside. We can't just preach it on the outside. And so we figured out ways to carve out time on Monday mornings to do that prep work so that it didn't cut into family time for my chiefs and for myself.
Go ahead, Dylan.
So let's talk about some of those things you look at as accomplishments that you might even get a moment of joy from, like the recently launched transition center at the jail.
Well, credit where credit's due. That's, we were there. Sam Brown gave remarks for me because I was called away to something else that was already pre-planned.
He's your chief civil deputy?
Yeah, Sam. Yeah, thank you very much. Sam Brown is our chief civil deputy, and he's been really involved in that. And I'll explain that it's because we are the county attorney. So it's always important to remember that. Yes, I'm the DA in the sense that we run the criminal unit, but we also have the huge civil law firm that represents the county. The sheriff, other electeds, the board of supervisor, legal advisor, and the county administrator. So Sam Brown went out and gave remarks, but that's been a county-wide effort. And everything we can do to make the jail the last door is what we're focused on. So what we've been talking a lot about in the last couple months in my shop is that, if a police officer encounters someone clearly with a substance use disorder, right? Not nonviolent, low level, victimless situation, substance use disorder. It takes anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes to drop them at Kodak 24/7, 365. They drop them off, they get right back out on the streets back to work. If it's mental illness going on that the officer engages in, it takes 3 to 5 minutes. In the back of the crisis response center, it's a 3 to 5 minute turnaround and the officer's right back on the streets. We want the jail to be the last door for those who are an ongoing threat of harm to the community. And I applaud the county for its hard work on the transition center.
And there's also a portion where people who were arrested and booked into jail when they're getting released, to offer them some resources that may keep them from getting back into the patterns that got them in trouble in the first place.
Absolutely. And I know that there's frustration, right? And there's morale and there are righteous concerns about seeing people, kind of hauled off and then right back where they were. And that's very righteous, but even when we can peel off and intervene and have a healthy intervention for even a small handful of what are considered high utilizers of the system, the ripple effects of that are tremendous.
All right, let's find some joy at Mona's Danish Bakery. That's never a problem, right, Dylan? All right, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. They're open right now for lunch. Of course, they do a beautiful breakfast. And they open the doors at 6:30, and there are a lot of people that are ready there to waiting for Steve and the team to open the doors, because that's when you might get the best selection of your bakery goods. Check it out, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Laura Conover sticks around for segment number two, as does Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Laura Conover is our Friday Focus interview today. She is the Pima County Attorney. Dylan Smith is here as well, editor, co-publisher, and founder of TucsonSentinel.com. Laura, what about the restorative justice? Is that effort now really going to get kicked off here?
Well, now there's a huge smile on my face.
Okay, there's some joy.
Anytime we can talk about restorative justice. So this was long hoped for and long dreamt about and long planned for, and we're finally here. So the concept of restorative justice is to try to create the state's first program for adults to peel out cases appropriately out of the criminal justice system to try to serve victims better, more quickly, and to the concept is to return them to nearly as whole as possible. The feedback from across the country on other offices who have these programs is that victims come away far more satisfied, and also critically for public safety, participants or the accused, what have you, their rate of recidivism is a fraction. You know, we can look at the Veterans Court in the city of Tucson right now, and we can see that over 80% of veterans who are defendants in there never come back into the system at all. That's incredible. So of course we want to replicate that. So we started piloting our first case last week. I'm told we found an extraordinary director named Emmanuel Fahey. She arrived 6 months ago and got the whole thing off the ground. It's been incredible. I want to thank the center as well in Tucson. It's a long-running mediation center, and they helped train our facilitators. So we have trained accredited facilitators and volunteer community members to make these circles of restorative justice happen. Last but not least, with a huge nod of gratitude to our tribal brothers and sisters who've been using these practices since time immemorial.
Any other county attorneys using this in Arizona? Are we first?
Not that I know
first
of.
First and last.
Hopefully not last.
Yeah.
I do give trainings now, interestingly, at what's called APAC. I have given my first training now to other county attorneys who, you know, can replicate some of the things that we're doing. And you never know. You never know. I mean, life changes and history evolves, and people can spread their wings.
Can you walk us through a typical case that would be, you know, slid out of the criminal approach and criminal prosecution approach and into this restorative justice?
Yeah, absolutely. So in all of the training and study that we did, I'm going to borrow a case out of a court a restorative justice program that's been running for over a decade out of California, because I can't mention the privacy and the confidentiality of what's going on in our shop right now. But so a classic case was that college town in California, mom and baby are home alone because dad is deployed. Okay, like husband's deployed. And late one night, there's like a crash and like the front door opens and there's, a young man stumbling around in the living room. And it's horribly distressing. It's frightening. It's a terrible situation. She screams, he leaves, et cetera. When this 21-year-old college kid comes out of his stupor and realizes what's happened, they are offered restorative justice. Mom, the victim, chooses it because she can quickly get into a safe situation where she can ask, why did you choose me? Why did you do this to me? And he was able to say, I am so unbelievably sorry. I was intoxicated out of my mind. I want to show you a map. I rent this house here. I thought it was my house. Mm-hmm. I just moved in. I was just trying to get in. I'm incredibly sorry. And it relieved her of all the thinking that she'd been targeted because her husband was out of town and that she was alone with a baby. Like it took away everything. He showed her pictures of what he'd been doing earlier in the night to get that intoxicated. And he was able to, and then they made a pact of what he was going to do to make things right. You know, there was a little bit of damage in the front yard and where he stumbled around, and he learned a huge lesson. And later she said, that she was glad that his life wasn't destroyed over a felony.
Yeah.
Because that's where it would have gone.
Yeah,
this
right.
kid would have ended up with a felony and been branded a felon for life.
Wow.
You know, whether he would have stayed in school, his future economics, his, you know, college, employment, housing, everything. So
his
that's
life could have been, wow.
So how many cases are we talking about here that get, you know, you drop criminal charges and refer them in this way? Go through this process.
We don't. So think of it as a stay of proceedings. Like nothing's dropped because
you're not pursuing.
It's all about accountability,
right?
Right. Because if they come into the circle and they're not ready to be fully accountable and to make things right, and they're it's not working,
they don't follow through and what they promise.
That's right. We can go right back into the system, right? However, if they satisfy the victim's requests in the agreement that they make together at the end of this, Right. They don't end up with a record, which is, of course, exactly what our local economy
needs. Can you give us a napkin sketch number of how widespread this is?
We're piloting our first case last week.
Okay.
So, I mean, you're here.
You're kicking it off.
Exactly, right. Exactly. I also want to mention, too, that a victim advocate, a professional, is helping to guide this because the victim has complete control over whether their case goes in this direction, like they're offered and invited, and then the defendant gets a chance to accept or decline, but the victim's in total control of their level of participation.
So it's not something where there would be the kind of, you could clean up your stats if you wanted to by like strongly encouraging victims to go with this rather than pursuing things in court, because you could close cases more easily.
If
you wanted to try and juke your stats, so you're trying to avoid that, right?
We can always, abdicate our responsibilities, of course, but at the People's Office, we take this extremely seriously. It has to be very victim-centric, and they're represented by a victim advocate, of course.
All right. Let's go to the live line. Two calls waiting. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Line one, Debbie has a question for Laura Conover. Go ahead, Debbie.
Hi, thank you. That's really interesting to learn a little bit more about the restorative justice. I appreciate that. I'm just going to ask my question and then hang up and listen. And this is a very genuine question. I'm wondering, Laura, why you suppose it is that to someone like myself, just an everyday person, you're saying that the crime rates are going down, or most of them at least are trending down, meaning, well, they're in the right direction. Why do you suppose it feels to me like Tucson has become such a dangerous city? I feel so threatened and frightened out there. Why do you think that is?
Wow, Debbie, that's a phenomenally important question, and I really appreciate the way your heartfelt expression of that. I want to say that while certain kinds of violent crime are trending down, other kinds of crime desperately need our attention. I mean, there's a lot going on in the realm of property out there, and I can tell you my teams are working so hard on concerns by neighborhoods and businesses. I also want to say that, unfortunately, it's just my humble opinion, but I think as a culture, as a society, we have gone through an epically hard time, a once in a century pandemic situation. And there's a cloud over us. And obviously it was hellacious in my first 2 years. I used the example that we had two homicides of strangers arguing over a parking spot. Mm. Like that's all it took. And again, the proliferation of firearms, right? The ability to reach across to the passenger seat and grab a gun to solve your minor problems, seemingly minor problems. So we were at a height of anxiety and stress and frustration, and it's going to take us a while to dig out of it. I flew on a plane back from a memorial yesterday. Time flies. And TSA still has signs up that say, you can't abuse us, you can't physically strike us, we'll prosecute. And as long as our American culture needs to tell ourselves the obvious that we need to be civil, as long as we continue to struggle with that, I hear you, Debbie. I hear you. And we've got to start taking better care of each other again.
All right, let's go to Nancy on line two. Nancy, you're with Laura Conover.
Yes, I disagree with you. Civil pamper gets us further into crime. And I'm thinking about this last week when the BMW was racing down Grant Road and hits a car at the intersection, slices it in two. It's going 130 miles an hour. And you let whoever it is off for $5,000 bond. Now, I think everyone has to hit rock bottom. Once they go, I've seen it on TV where some drunk has been caught, finally has been incarcerated after seven times of maybe finally killing someone. And they're saying, why me? Why me? Rock bottom cures crime. Pampering does not, because they go right back into what they've done before because they haven't hit rock bottom.
All right. Laura Conover, hitting rock bottom.
Yeah, Nancy, we're on the same page here, and let me try to explain that. Going 130 miles in a fancy sports car down a major residential street is exactly what we call an ongoing threat of harm in our office. And we articulate this every morning and every night at what's called the initial appearance. We make our arguments. The sheriff, the chief, and I are in lockstep on the issue of making our arguments that someone is clearly demonstrating that they are an ongoing threat of harm. And here's cash bail failing us again, because the court puts a $5,000 bond on it. And apparently, you know, you're telling me that your research indicates that the person was able to pay it and get out. And I'm not surprised. That's cash bail failing us again. We will continue as a system to argue that our antiquated initial appearance system absolutely has to be overhauled. All it's doing for us is creating a jail population where those who can pay are coming back out and creating more harm. And then it's filling jail cells with sick and ill people who can't pay a $500 bond when that's the last place they should be, you know, and they come out worse and not better. So you and I agree more than you know, Nancy. It's we're in this battle together.
What about domestic violence? Are those cases holding their own or going down, I hope, or is it still a case of such a serious problem in this county?
It certainly remains a heavy labor source for us. Absolutely, our domestic violence unit works around the clock. What I can say, the silver lining that I can say, is that what we're seeing mostly is that the domestic violence fueled homicides is one of those areas where it's coming down. You know, COVID. We talked about COVID bringing anxiety, and you have fights in parking lots. The other one of the many, many problems we dealt with in the office was the lack of ability to reach out to get help, like less eyes on people. And so you're trapped at home. And so what might have been a low level domestic violence situation, you know, was escalating to homicide, which is just horrifying. And we're getting a real ease up on that. Nevertheless, their caseloads are way too high, and we're doing everything we can. We're doing everything we can in that battle.
Here's Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com.
I want to ask you about one specific homicide case, the Ryan Remington case, the former police officer who was indicted for the killing of Richard Lee Richards. And are you going to bring that back to a grand jury yet again? There's still some legal maneuvering about whether the one grand jury transcript will be released to defense lawyers. And you've kind of left it out there whether you're going to try and present this to a third grand jury to see if that
Dylan, could
former
you just
officer will be indicted.
Give us a rough idea what we're talking about with this.
This is case. There was a TPD officer who was working a security guard gig at Walmart on the south side who shot someone who was in one of those little motorized wheelchairs nine times for allegedly stealing shoplifting a toolbox.
Okay.
Right.
And he had a knife. The man had a knife.
Headed into the Lowe's. I know I'm a broken record here, and I know it feels like I'm leaving questions unanswered, and that's because the rules do not permit me to discuss the facts and circumstances of an ongoing investigation and an ongoing case. Rules 3.6 and 3.8. I really should get a tattoo and then hold that up, you know, because people are righteously frustrated that I can't answer questions.
Legally, how long can you leave this hanging over Remington's head, whether you're going to try and prosecute him again or not?
Well, and let me finish the thought, though, quick, is that I hold hallowed those constitutional principles. You know, the reason why I'm not commenting is because if and when Mr. Remington has to face a jury, that should be a fully fair and impartial study of justice. And we don't want the head prosecutor tipping the scales of justice by discussing the facts and circumstances out in public. So what I can tell you is only what's in the public record, which is that his attorneys, the defense attorneys, have made clear that they're doing everything possible to try to prevent a third grand jury and to defend him, as is their job. And our Court of Appeals document, our filing that the Court of Appeals mm-hmm. holds right now, makes it clear our positions that that we need to protect we would need to protect the systems of the grand jury, and that there's no special exception here. There's no special exception to certain grand jury processes that that exist in the law for someone like Mr. Remington, that we need to treat this case like any other and proceed as we should, and that's all I can say.
Thanks.
Yeah, you bet.
Anything else, Laura Conover, before we wrap it up, with any thoughts you would like to leave with us and our listeners?
Well, I've been doing a lot of reflection, Bill, to sort of start, I guess, with your very first question. And, you know, coming upon completion of the third year is a time to continue to reflect back on the work that we're doing. And I look around every day at the people in the office doing one of the hardest jobs in the community during the most difficult times, and they've hung in there, and they are incredible, incredible civil servants.
And they could be making more a lot of other places, right?
Yes. At every single position that we hold, our entry-level people who are protecting privacy rights of victims, you know, could be making more at In-N-Out Burger, all the way up to, right, our top veteran prosecutors who could walk out the door to a firm and triple their salary overnight. Mm-hmm. And they choose this work. They choose Pima County. They choose service. And that absolutely brings a smile on my face every single day.
Are you still getting these people being recruited away by Pinal County and other places?
Yes, I mean that will always exist. You know, my dear colleague, the Pinal County attorney, has a tough sell, right? That the office is in Florence, Arizona.
Yes.
You know, in a prison town. That's hard, right? So he's got to have you know, $30,000 and a shuttle to offer
exactly.
to Tucson attorneys and Phoenix attorneys to come in. And our job is to make our place the best place we can to work. And that's coming along really well.
Okay. Laura Conover, thank you very much. We'll see you next quarter.
Wonderful. Bill, Dylan, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, it's the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today with Laura Conover, Pima County Attorney. We thank her for coming in. I've got a few comments to make and questions to ask Dylan Smith right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade, using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. And again, thanks to Laura Conover, our Friday Focus interview today on this October the 13th. Always a pleasure to welcome back to the show Dylan Smith, who is the co-founder, co-publisher, and editor of TucsonSentinel.com, which is a very popular Tucson online news service. Dylan, there is an election. I voted yesterday.
You cast your ballot already?
I did. I filled out my ballot, and there was one item on the ballot, and that was the Tucson Unified School District override election. Of course, right. I live in the counties, but in the city, of course, there is a city election with some wards at stake, the mayor, a couple of races.
Yeah, there are actually a number of elections going on. Perhaps the most prominent would be the election for Tucson mayor and half of the city council. Mm-hmm. And there are contested races, and ballots went out this week to every registered voter in the city is being mailed a ballot, and you can fill that out at your leisure at home and get it back before Election Day. Or if you're like me, drop it off on Election Day, because I'm an old-fashioned voter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's November 7th. Am I right on that date? Yes, November 7th. But there are other races going on, including, as you mentioned, TUSD. If you live inside the TUSD district boundaries, but you don't live inside the city, mm-hmm. you'll get that one question.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in the city, depending on which district you're in, for many people, TUSD, you'll have both the city election and that school district bond question. There are other school districts who have budget overrides and bonds on the ballot. And then out in Vail,
folks
are deciding whether to incorporate and mm-hmm. Become a town. So everybody, and the boundaries are kind of hard to describe because they're very jagged. Mm-hmm. But then for the folks who they wanted to include in that, and there were certain areas that were, people were rather opposed, so they got drawn out of the proposal. But basically out in the Vail area, you should be able to be taking part in this election if you're inside those boundaries.
I'm very curious to see how that will go. It's come up before, and the Vail residents said no before to it.
With slightly different boundaries, and that, I think that's key. That,
okay.
There are folks who were not interested in being part of this, or, developers who have some large, mm-hmm. areas of land, mm-hmm. things like that, and they went and, rethought how it should fit in, butts up against the city of Tucson, and then stretches out to the southeast, kind of a stair step kind of fashion.
And we're talking about, I think, 30,000 resident, something like that.
And the, you know, the pro argument for becoming a town is that there would be really just more money coming into the area that would go to that town.
Revenue sharing would go directly to the new little city of Vail.
Town of Vail. Town. Not a city.
Not a city.
But,
okay.
But they're almost the same thing in that theoretical sense.
But there is
a difference. But there would be more money than gets sent to Pima County to handle those services as they are right now in that area. So there's that. The anti, you know, vote is, you know, some people don't want another layer of, you know, government bureaucracy and, you know, the possibility of more different taxes being imposed, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. A budget buster. At least that's what we're hearing out of Phoenix with the voucher program. And this thing, Tom Horn down plays this, but we're talking a lot of money here over budget for the voucher program.
Something like $400 million?
Yes, yes.
For a program that was pitched as being, a tenth of that size?
Yeah.
These are the, what they call school vouchers, which are in some, you know, very prominent instances being spent on things like, you know, people buying brand new grand pianos for their kids at home. They're not just paying, you know, school tuition in places.
So they can do a proper piano lesson.
Exactly. You got to have a good piano for that, not just a little keyboard, right?
How about a Steinway, concert piano?
And so what we're seeing is, you know, a lot of the vouchers are being utilized by folks who are already very well off and, you know, have the resources to, you know, extend their kids' education and then use this taxpayer money on top of that to, you know, sometimes, you know, augment their private school tuition or pay for tutors or special trips or, you know, all of these other experiences, which are probably pretty good for their kids. But, you know, it's taking a ton of money out of the state budget, a ton of money that could be going to public schools that serve everybody, and plenty of other programs, actually, when you start totaling up this entire bill.
All right, TucsonSentinel.com. There's no paywall on your organization, is there?
Nope. We are resolutely opposed to the idea of forcing people to pay us for our news. Certainly, we welcome it. We need the support of people in this community. We rely on it.
How are you supported?
People who join the Watchdog Club, go to TucsonSentinel.com/watchdog, and you can sign up and send us a little bit of money every month, and you know, we rely on, you know, thousands of folks in this community over the years who've pitched in because they understand the importance of truly local, independent news, digging into things, holding politicians accountable, celebrating the weird, wacky, wonderful culture that we have here in Tucson.
It is a nonprofit organization.
Correct. You know, we're not here to, you know, earn stacks of money and ship it out of town to a corporate headquarters. We're a nonprofit. We put our money back into paying professional reporters to dig into the desert dirt.
All right. And it's easy to find. Just Google Tucson Sentinel.
Well, you should probably have TucsonSentinel.com bookmarked already.
Tucson. Okay. Yeah, I hope you have it.
Go there every day.
All right, Dylan. Thanks very much for coming in, and we'll see you very soon, okay?
Take care.
All righty. Excuse me. We'll take a break right here. Dan Gibson is next.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. And away we go, mid-October weekend. Love it. This weekend watch and all of our weekend watch presentations from Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Lots to do. Perfect time of year over there. Look at that midday temperature. Love it. 72 degrees. So it is certainly going to be worth your while to take a little road trip and get out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, maybe even see some autumn color. I would not be at all surprised. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. All sorts of information there about things to do, all sorts of recreation opportunities, great places to stay, and great places to dine as well in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Here he is, Dan Gibson, in for Matt Russell's day. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
Doing well. Great weekend here, mid-October. How about some tips for our Buckmaster Show listeners on some things that might pique someone's interest?
Well, we'll start with a good news, bad news situation. The other day, Dillinger Brewing, which has locations on 4th Avenue and then one off of Oracle, we announced that they were closing, but they had sold to another local business. So if you enjoy the brewing at Dillinger Brewing, make sure you check it out before the end of the month before they switch brands. But the good news is Dillinger Brewing was bought out by the people at Serial Grillers, who have a number of locations around town, as well as the Toro Loco concept on Speedway. So they're still going to be local, still be making great beer, just be under the Mosaic Brewing name, which I could have sworn was a brewery somewhere else. Apparently I just made that up, but it is an original name, original concept. They'll do a great job. They're lovely human beings.
Breweries have really taken off, haven't they, with the kind of the Tucson signature all over them. There's a certain Southern Arizona brew style.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of IPAs, a lot of like wheat beers, things like that. You know, I feel like you didn't, maybe you didn't mean to set me up, but have you heard about Tucson Wheat Yourself, the Borderlands brew that's exclusively at Tucson Meet Yourself this weekend?
I have heard a little bit about it. Tell us some more.
Well, you know, if let's be honest, if you're doing anything food wise this weekend, it should be Tucson Meet Yourself. It is the 50th anniversary. Down here in Hockaway Plaza is where I am right now, live on location, because that's how much I care about this show. I wanted to make sure I did the research, that I was prepared to discuss mm-hmm. Tucson Meet Yourself today. Mm-hmm. I have already eaten food from Syria, from Cuba, from Turkey, from Taiwan, and also there is a beer garden this year right in the middle of Hakame Plaza featuring Tucson Wheat Yourself, a local beer using local wheat from Borderlands Brewing. So that's a nice 50th anniversary. You get a beer garden. I hope for my 50th birthday I get a beer garden. That would be fine. I'm into it. Well, that's a note for my wife, Tara, if she's listening.
Well, make sure you go to Tucson, meet yourself with an empty stomach, because things fill up very fast.
It is. Yeah. Somebody on one of the stages called it Tucson Pace Yourself, which I think is probably good advice. It is a little toast. I mean, it's getting warmer, right? So make sure you get a bottle of water. They have water stations all over. You can fill your own bottle, but also you can donate some money to Tucson Meet Yourself, which is an excellent cause, and get a water bottle as well. I think there are 72 different food vendors this year, which I think feels like an all-time high, and snaking out further away from the library in downtown. But just make sure you have a plan. There's a, you know, parking. You get downtown is a little bit of a mess because of all the blocked off streets. So just be thoughtful when you come down here for anything. But Tucson Meet Yourself running basically all day and all night from Friday to Sunday.
And it is the 50th edition, and we talked a bit about it on the show on Monday. So it is a big weekend for Tucson Meet Yourself. Dan Gibson, thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay over at Tucson Meet Yourself.
I'm heading over. I mean, I got some more in me. It'll be great.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dan. All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Everybody here at Bustos Media Tucson does such a great supportive job in making sure our programs are posted in a very timely pattern. Thanks to Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing, and the entire team. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely weekend.